Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Just Films and That. This is the podcast that celebrates films we reckon could be underrated or underseen. I'm your host for this week, Alice Oliver. With me as always is Josh Hallam. And this week's film is The Transporter from 2002. So let's get stuck in. All right then, Josh. So you chose this week's film, The Transporter from 2002. So spoiler warning, listeners, if you haven't seen it yet. So Josh, do tell us, what is the film about and why did you pick it?
What's it about and why did I pick it? So what's it about? So Jason Statham, he's in it. He's there. He's bald. He's buff. You know, he's the Jason Statham we all know and love. He is Frank Martin, who is an ex, you know, Army, Navy, you know, something.
Military guy.
He's military guy. And he transports stuff, Alice. That's what he does.
He does.
He transports stuff from place to place. And he has some simple rules, Alice. And some simple rules that he follows to make sure each job goes well.
The three rules.
Guess what happens to one of the rules, Alice?
Oh, no. He doesn't break them, does he?
Oh, what are rules meant to be, Alice?
Oh, they're meant to be broken, aren't they? Oh, bloody hell.
So, yeah, one of his rules gets broken. He finds himself with essentially a captive who is one of his packages, who is a young, I think, Chinese woman called Lai. And she, you know, gets unraveled in a sort of human trafficking plot, which is all very much a loose plot to allow Jason Statham to beat people up for an hour and 45 minutes. So why did I pick this? So it just popped into my head when I realized I had to pick another film. I don't know if we've done many, we have done some, many all-out action films, just action, just an action film. You know what I mean? It comes to mind, I think, in Punisher Warzone, which in itself is also a comic book film. I suppose you've got like Spree 2. We did that back in the day.
Spree 2 was pretty action-y. True Lies is pretty action-y.
But there's not loads.
Some other things going on there as well. They're like romance and stuff. So
we haven't done many just action films.
Do you think... I was going to say, is Tremors an action film? But nah, because it's kind of like sci-fi supernatural stuff as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's loads of films we've done that have action in them.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know if we've ever done a film that's like, it's, you know, it very much follows the action film tropes and formula that you come to expect. So I thought that was a good reason to pick it. Another thing is, I think it's a little bit critically. It's not criminally underrated. I think it's critically underrated, having looked at the scores. So I'm saying it's underrated, and also I think, you know, it's nice to breathe new life into the palette and have a pure action film with Jason Statham. I don't even know if we've done a Jason Statham film before, to be fair.
Since I've been with you. No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think we have. Anyway, so had you seen it before?
Hadn't seen it. Pretty sure. Like I'd heard of it, like I'd heard of that name sort of thing. So I don't really know, Josh, if I've ever seen a Jason Statham film before.
No.
So is he, he's not in like Lock, Stock or anything.
So he started out, we actually an Olympic diver. Go on YouTube, he was a diver in like the early 90s, whichever the year, like 92, I think, Olympics. And then he went into acting. I think he does a bit of martial arts and stuff as well. Obviously, he does in this, but I think even before this, he did like kickboxing or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
And he was in Lock, Stock, and he was in Snatch.
Okay, so yeah, I have seen that. I've seen it.
And then he sort of made his move over to America, and he did a Jet Li film called The One, I think, which is actually... Really? I think it's like a multiverse film. I've never actually seen it, but so he's in that, and then he sort of branched out, and this was his branching out into action.
Okay,
as in as a leading man, you know, action star. Because he's also, you know, he's in other bits as well. Like he's in Mean Machine, if you've seen that. He's been in a few bits and stuff like that. So and now, you know, he's fairly well known. He's done the odd non-action film, but he's fairly well known for doing things like this, The Mechanics, The Expendables. other ones where he plays a gruff ball guy who beats people up.
Yeah, I'm definitely sort of aware of the reputation. So I'm pretty sure, so my dad and my sister, and my sister especially, love him. And yeah. this is their sort of film.
Oh, really?
Like,
this 100%. Is a bit of them.
Yeah, yeah. And I realised as well, my sister's boyfriend actually looks quite a lot like Jason Statham. And I'd only just realised that watching this film. I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. And you're not the first person I've heard who's like, they just, I think he's one of those actors, a little bit like, you know, you get these action heroes, don't you? Like, sort of generationally speaking, where you've got like Arnie, Stallone, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal. Mm-hmm. I think Jason Statham's one of them, isn't he? Where you know what you're getting. You're not getting highbrow, intellectual drama. Now, I've not seen all his films. There may be ones where there is that, and it's not a criticism. But when he makes this sort of film, you go in and you know what you're getting, right? And this isn't Schindler's List or you know or whatever. But I think it serves a purpose, and I think it's a decent action film. It's flawed. There are some issues with it. So your dad and your sister think that this is a bit of you. Is it a bit of them? Is it a bit of you?
So I mean. Like it was fun. It was definitely enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a laugh, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a laugh. I think you sort of get the vibe quite early on about what this is going to be. You know, strap yourselves in, lads. Here we go, sort of thing. Like, and like you say, we're not expecting anything groundbreaking. We're not even expecting to see anything that we haven't seen before. But if you're into that big, dumb, like goofy action,
switch your brain off.
Yeah. Then I think this definitely has something to offer. And you know what? I laughed a lot as well. Yeah, I did laugh a lot throughout. Not necessarily like comedy wouldn't be the first genre that pops into mind when you think of this film, but there are subsequently quite a lot of really funny moments sort of within the action and within some of Jason Statham's delivery as well, I think, in some of the scenarios that he finds himself in. So go on then, Josh, take it away. What are some of the things that you just love about The Transporter?
So the main points, I think, are all around the action and Jason Statham's performance. So I will start by saying this. This film is ridiculous.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's stupid and it's big and it's dumb fun, right? But I think that the action is absolutely spot on. And I think that's why you watch a film like this. Like you said there, a good action film will make you chuckle, whether it's because there's little quippy dialogue or whether it's because sometimes they do the fight scenes in such a way that you watch, you know, you watch someone get punched and you sort of go, ooh, like, you know, or whatever it is. So I think the action in this is really, really spot on good action film. There's lots of different types of action in there. So there's car chases, there's fight scenes, there's other types of chases. There's that thing of the ingenuity of different action scenes, which is very much influenced by Hong Kong cinema and Jackie Chan and stuff like that, where it's, you know, bring in variables into the action scenes, and it's very much a set piece. This is the one where they're all fighting, except there's oil everywhere.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you can definitely see those influences. And I thought that when I was watching
it. And it's the same when you watch like a Jackie Chan film. It's like he's fighting everyone, except he's whole, you know, like the first one that comes to mind, and obviously this isn't a Hong Kong film, but Rush Hour. He's fighting all these guys, but he can't smash that vase. So what you do, and this, you know, what Jackie Chan does very, very well is he mixes it with like silent cinema. So he loves like Buster Keaton and Jackie Chan and stuff like that. So it's comedy with that. Now, this doesn't quite touch on that, but it definitely takes that and puts some testosterone into it and goes fight scenes, but this, do you know what I mean? So a fight scene. So there's one bit where it's like, you can clearly see the choreography. They've gone, two guys have axes in a narrow corridor and he doesn't. And that's an action scene. And it's just executed really, really well. You know, this sort of choreography blows my mind a bit, because it must be really, really hard to execute. It's like a dance. You've got to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse it. So the action scenes, I think, are particularly good. What they do to enhance and change stakes and variables and stuff like that to make it engaging. I think that's what makes it a cut above some other action films, where it's just a bit run of the mill. You know, the last half an hour in particular is great action cinema. It's just absolutely balls to the wall madness, isn't it? I mean, some of the action is so daft. There's a bit where he punches two men at the same time with two different fists. And I'm not sure how much you have to go to the gym to be able to do that. because you need your shoulders to put the momentum into it, don't you?
You need that swing.
Yeah, or the bit where, you know, it's one of those films where the bad guys always miraculously can just find something to attack him with. So there's a bit where he's fighting them all when there's just a bunch of pipes on the ground.
Yeah.
And they all just pick them up and it's like, where have they come from? and stuff like that. So I really love the action. A lot of that's down to Statham as well. So I think it's really important to note that at this point in his career, he wasn't known as an action star. Mm. He wasn't really even known, certainly not in the States. Here, he was known as one of the Guy Ritchie mob, the likes of Jason Fleming, Jason Statham, Dexter Fletcher, stuff like that. And so I think he really nails that leading man. I mean, his physicality is brilliant. I mean, I'm joking, he's big and he's bald, he's buff or whatever, but to keep in that shape for as long as he has and to be able to do the things he does on screen where you can tell a lot of it is him, that's no mean feat. I mean, I think he's in his 50s now. So he's doing really well.
From a non-objectifying men standpoint,
he looks
incredible. Yeah. Like, he is in terrific shape in this film. Like, the way that his muscles seem to have developed and the training that he's clearly undergone, like, it's so visible. Mm. And the film obviously utilizes this a lot because he is frequently with his shirt off. And like you say about the funny action sequences, though, there's one where they to get out of a grip or something, he has to take his shirt off, and then he spends the rest of the scene obviously shirtless.
Yeah.
But, you know, he looks so physically fit, and it is really impressive. You can't look at, you know, you look at him and you think, that is a fella who works damn hard
to keep himself
in good shape.
Absolutely.
And that's really admirable.
It is. Like you say, from a non-objectification point of view, but equally, you know, for an action film, that physicality really enhances the film. You know, there's a reason why there aren't many or any action films with fellas who look a little bit like me. Do you know what I mean? that's not putting myself down or anything like that, but you know, action stars look like this. And he is an action star, and I think I watched this not long after it came out, but I didn't see it in the cinema or anything like that because I would have been too young. But, you know, it's almost like you can see that birth of an action star happening there and then. Yeah. So I mean, and that's pretty much what I like about it. I just think it's a really solidly made action film with a ridiculous plot that we'll come on to, but that's what I like about it. What did you like about it? So you seem to have fun with it. What did you have fun with and what did you like?
So, you know, the thing that I loved the most about it was the scenery. Like, I feel like it just had a real impact on me. So you've got like this beautiful coastal landscape in southern France, is it? I think it is.
Yeah.
And it's all just so lovely to look at. And you do spend a lot of time with the characters, like just driving through the landscape. So it helps make those sequences really enjoyable. And it's also really effective because it brings in like these moments of calm in between the chaos. So like after a big shootout or an explosion or whatever Jason's getting up to, you then get these extended scenes where he's just driving along or like he's getting up to things in and around his villa. And it was always just really nice and sunny. So the colors and the lighting were really warm and effective. And there's also, and like you've touched on, because of that sort of more Eastern influence, there's a lot of silence in this film. Like, not every scene is crammed full of dialogue. So then you just get to sit in these moments and enjoy them. And I actually found the whole thing quite effective in that regard. I think, like you've already said, the great, goofy, over-the-top action sequences, the choreography in some of them was exceptional, and it is just that great, big, dumb fun. And instead of it ever feeling irritating or vapid, I just found it enjoyable. Like,
yeah,
I just liked watching it. Yeah, because there are some. So what did we... We've gone back and we're sort of watching all the Star Wars films again at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And we were watching... Attack of the Clones, is it? The second one from the prequels?
Yeah.
And in that, there are these really long action sequences that don't develop the story whatsoever. They don't develop the characters or anything. And I'm sat there and I was looking at Ollie and I was like, this is boring. Like, I'm bored watching this. And he was like, I feel the same. Like, there's nothing happening in these. Like, because obviously a great action film, there is stuff happening within the action. Like, characters are being developed, the story's driving forward or something. And in that, it just wasn't. And in this, it wasn't either, but it just didn't bother me for some reason.
It didn't
matter.
Because it's not trying to do anything other than entertain you.
Yeah, and I
make
a point. Entertained.
Yeah, that's it. It's absolutely that. It's not trying to make it. Because the interesting thing about this as well is it's not, I don't think it's a Hollywood film. I think it's actually it's a European film. I think just directed or it's either directed or written by Luc Besson, who did Leon and other things as well. And I think it's a European film or a French film or whatever. It's one of those things of like, well, where does a film come from? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Who's funded it? Where was it filmed? Yeah.
Are the Harry Potter films Hollywood films? Because they're all made here and they've all got British casts in them. I don't really know how you define it because it's sort of, it's really hard to define, but this feels European.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And I definitely felt that throughout as well. So I really enjoyed the music as well. And as I was listening to it, like I definitely sort of got the sense that, oh, this is going to be something that I either really like or really hate. And a lot of the time it felt like the music just did not match the action in terms of what you would usually expect from your traditional Hollywood action film. But I really liked it and I found it quite amusing in itself. And then that made me enjoy it more. So then every time a new song would start up, I'd make sure to like mentally make a note of whether it felt like it matched the action and the mood. And most of the time it just didn't. But I actually really liked it. It meant it never felt too predictable or repetitive. And again, I just found that amusing in its own way. It was really weird. And then just finally, this is neither a like or a dislike, but I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Josh, where on earth my mind went with this, right? I can't even explain it. But at the beginning, when we're first introduced to Frank, so Jason Statham's character, he reminds me of Sideshow Bob.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What?
Yeah. Can you enlighten me on why my brain went there? It's when
Jason
he's in the car.
Jason Statham in the transporter reminds you of Sideshow Bob.
So he's in the car and he's sort of talking to the criminals that he's meant to be picking up and stuff.
Bank robbers or whatever.
Yeah, and he's like giving them a lecture about, oh, you said there was only be three of you and now there's too much weight in the car or whatever. And I was watching it and I was like, oh, he really reminds me of someone when he speaks like that. And I was like, oh my God, why is it Sideshow Bob?
Is it because at the beginning of the film he steps on a rake and
does
it hits him in the face and
is it because he's trying to murder a child
it's probably because at the beginning when he's outlining his rules and that's one of the only little bits of exposition dumping in the film, he's quite sort of intellectual and well spoken when he's doing it, like it's almost like the way he's speaking, he's rehearsed it in his head because he's committed those rules to his memory so much that all he has to do is be like, no names, packages this, all that sort of stuff. So it's probably just the way he delivers the line, maybe, or maybe it's because he has big red hair and then he shaves it off and that's how Jason Statham became bald.
Yeah, that's got to be it. The resemblance is uncanny, but no, I thought that was weird and I was like, I don't know where my brain's gone there, but that is what I felt. But yeah, that was mostly it for me. We'll move on now then to talking about anything that we didn't like about the transporter or perhaps anything that we would change. So go on, Josh, you said in the opening, this film is flawed. I think we can all see that it's kind of flawed in various ways, as much fun as it is. So go on, let's dig in.
I've got one main point and two little points. What do you want to hear first?
Hit me with the big main one. Go on.
So the big point, I think that there's an element of this, not from an action point of view, but from a narrative and plot point of view, that's a little bit by the numbers.
I think the
action in this is a cut above other action films, and that's sold by Statham's physicality and the choreography and the action and stuff like that. And yes, there are cliches in this film, in that you've got your main character fights a guy that's much bigger than him. He has his shirt off for no reason. The villain's a pretty big cliche and stuff like that. But I think there's a nugget in there to suggest that there's a more stripped back version of this from a plot point of view, where there's not unnecessary plot elements. And I think that they sort of panicked a little bit and put plot in there that wasn't really necessary. Okay. My main point about that is that Frank and Lai don't need to become romantic.
No, they don't.
And they just make it romantic And I think that on the one, you know, speaking surface level, I think that's a real shame because it's just unnecessary. This is, you know, we all like to see sexy people doing sexy things. We all like that. It's a bit of something for everyone. But for me, the romance didn't work. It's not even that they don't have chemistry, because they actually do in some of the scenes they're in together when they when they are being romantic, but it's just unnecessary. It's not needed. It's a little bit problematic as well, considering the actual plot of the film as well. But the other thing is, when you do a bit of digging, and I have got this off IMDb, so take it with a pinch of salt, it may not be true, but apparently the original script, Frank was gay.
Okay.
And they... It looks, based on IMDb, that they basically panicked about that and put that love story in for no reason.
Too
early, that's a real shame.
2002, like the gay panic was real. Gay panic was real, wasn't it?
But, you know, I think that's a real shame because I know lots and lots of films and I still can't particularly think of one with a gay action hero in it that I'm trying to think if there are any. I'm sure, listen, there may well be. Now, at this point, there may well be, but at the point the film was made, there wasn't. So I think it's that's a real shame when you dig down from a sort of, you know, more political or sociological view and then from the wider sort of plot. It's just unnecessary. So I just thought that's, you know, it's a little bit problematic and it's, sort of, it's both problematic and unnecessary. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, that's one of the things on my list as well. And sort of, there's kind of like wider issues around that as well. Like, so when he decides to sort of look in the package, so it were, so break one of his rules, and, you know, he opens the bag and, oh, there's a woman inside and it's a lie. Some really romantic music starts playing. Like, and I was like, well, that's.
This is how I met your mother.
That doesn't really quite
I used to transport stuff. And then one time I was transporting a package and I broke one of my rules. And guess what? Guess who was in the boot?
Yeah, gagged and bound.
It was your grandma.
And then obviously she then sort of throws herself at him sexually, even though like she's just been kidnapped.
Like it's a reward as well. It's almost like a sort of like,
So it feels a little bit like this kind of weird early 2000s male sexual fantasy sort of thing. Like, oh, there's a beautiful girl in the trunk and she's completely at my mercy because, you know, now I am her savior and she's got nowhere to go and all this sort of thing. And I was just like, you know what? Obviously, for 2002, not out of place. Like, this is not the only film guilty of that. But obviously, watching it now, I was just a bit like, oh, good. Could have done without that.
Unnecessary, isn't it? The only other two things for me is I didn't mind some of the music choices, but I found some of them a bit jarring.
They were wacky as hell, man.
And I think you're either going to react like you have or you're going to react like I have. I think there's only two ways that's going to go. But you know what? They took a big swing and I appreciate that. And then the other thing is I have to know, what was he planning to do with those two police officers?
Terrific question.
He just puts them in it. So basically, if you've not seen the film, at one point, two police officers stop him and he has no other choice but to do his action man stuff on them and knock them out. Mm-hmm. He then puts them in his boot. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming what he would have done is sort of, you know, let them go somewhere. But either that or he's either going to keep them in his house as prisoners.
Yeah.
And then essentially what happens is they blow his car up and those two are in the boot, so they die.
Problem solves itself.
But then, for me, it's just like, what was he going to do with them? Just leave them at the side of the road. Just move them to the side of the road where they won't get hit by a car and hope that they don't find you because there's no, you know, there's no body cams at this stage or whatever.
Unanswered questions, I think.
In this film,
there are aplenty.
There are. But that's about it for me. The main one is the big point that I made. What about you?
So nothing that I especially disliked. Obviously, we've been over the lie stuff and kind of the treatment of her character and some of, you know, the sort of behaviour around her. But I think the obvious thing, obviously, is there is no real substance here. Like, I never really felt like the stakes were high. I don't think the villain's motivations are engaging enough and it's all very style over substance. Things like the script and the dialogue choices aren't strong enough to make a very highly compelling film. And even some of the cinematography and stuff I found to be quite basic and predictable. Was it entertaining? Yes, definitely. But I'm not feeling any depth here from anyone.
No, God, like, No. It's definitely a, it's definitely like a pancake of a film. It's got bread, you know, eggs, flour and milk, and that's it. You know what you're getting.
Right then, so we'll move on to the critical reception and we'll have a look to see if we think this is underrated. Josh, you think it is? That's one of the reasons
critically,
why you picked it.
Critically, I think it's underrated, yeah.
For our underrated and underseen podcast. So, you think it's underrated? I think what would probably...
Thinking of it as an action film, what would you give it? Does it... Because for me, it ticks the box of what you'd expect from an action film. So if you're thinking about what it's setting out to achieve, I think it achieves that. What would you say? What would you give it?
So I would probably not be able to quite give it a 6. So I think I'm probably giving it like a 5.9. So so nearly, so close. But I think I can't give it enough credit to be a 6 when there are some things that are really lacking in terms of driving the story forward, motivations, things like that. What do I think it got? I think it probably got lower than that because I feel like you think this is sort of really underrated and it probably didn't do too well. So I wonder if it got maybe like a high 4 overall.
Ooh,
like maybe, let's
overall.
Say, I'll say that it got like a 4.8, I think, across the board. So what would you give it? What were you giving it?
As an action film, in terms of it, you know, like I said earlier, what it sets out to do and what you're expecting from it, maybe a high 6.
Sort of
low 7 because it's a great
low 7.
Yeah, it's a great action film.
Okay, yeah.
It is a ridiculous film from a narrative point of view and some of the execution of that is not good, but I think the action essentially makes up for it.
Okay.
At the time of recording then.
All right, go on, hit me.
Over on IMDb. It gets 6.8 out of 10.
Hey, that's really good.
That's good. That's about where I put it, around there. Over on Rotten Tomatoes, the audience give it 73%.
What? Oh, my God. I'm the outlier. I feel so mean now. I'm so
bad. As you normally are. No. And then the critics, and this is why I picked it, the critics on Rotten Tomatoes give it 54%.
Oh, I really undershot this, didn't I?
Listen, it averages out at 65%.
Wow.
Which I've picked that because of the critics' score, because I think this is a decent action film and nothing more.
Okay.
What would you say? 54% underrated?
I think we can probably say that critic score is slightly underrated, but I think overall I would say that's appropriately rated, and I'm a little bit surprised, I think. The Rotten Tomatoes audience putting it in the 70s there. That's really high. Like when I think of some of the other films we've done, I haven't got anywhere near that. But yeah, go on. I reckon that critic score, a little bit underrated.
So there we go then. The Transporter just sneaking it into the underrated vault based on that critic's score. Alice, it is your turn to pick next week. So, what are we going to be talking about next week?
Okay, for next week, we're going to watch and talk about Dragonheart.
Dragonheart?
Yeah.
Sean Connery is a big dragon.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. How do you feel about that, listeners?
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? We'll have to wait and see. Okay. Well, in that case, join us next week. We're going to be talking about Dragonheart. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. Just search for Just Films and That on Facebook, Twitter, /X, Instagram, TikTok. We're on YouTube as well. You can find us over there. Always putting stuff out there. So give us a follow. We're on Patreon as well. So if you head into the episode description notes for this podcast, there's a link. Click on that. You can get access to episodes a day early, extended episodes and ad-free episodes, all starting at £1 a month. We're also on the television, aren't we, Alice?
We are indeed. Every Friday from 6 p.m. you can find us on the local TV network. What that means is if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. And I'm also uploading all the videos onto Dailymotion, so if you scoot on over there, search for Just Films and That, you'll be able to see exactly what it is we're up to.
Yes, lots of ways to see us, hear us, and engage with us. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye from me. Cheerio.
Bye.